This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم. This is session 59 of our series In the Names of Allah. And we'll be covering Ar-Ra'uf, the compassionate, name number 82. But as is our normal practice, we'll begin by greeting our various visitors, students, supporters, followers, etc. with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Zahida Shah from Kashmir sends her salams. Nadira Tajuddin from Melbourne, Australia, sends hers. Rashida Abdul Rashid from Virginia, USA, sends hers. And Fathi Shaznin from Melbourne, Australia, sends his. Luz Rodriguez from New York City sends his greetings. Yasmin Ismail from South Africa sends her greetings. And Faisal Ali, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With that, we will move into our main session, which is a bit long today. And inshallah, barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Session 59, Ar-Ra'uf, the kind, the compassionate, name number 82. In terms of its Quranic location, the divine name Ar-Ra'uf is mentioned in 10 places in the Quran. Among them is وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah would never have caused you to lose your faith, that is your previous prayers. Indeed, Allah is kind and merciful to people. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 143. Linguistically, Ra'uf comes from the triliteral root Ra, Hamza, Hamza, and Fa. And the verbal noun from this root is ra'fatun or ra'fa. It has three main meanings. The first of which is to be gentle, kind, and forgiving. The second is to be merciful and compassionate. And the third meaning is to show pity and tenderness. This root appears some 13 times in the Quran in two derived forms. Either as examples, ra'fatun, pity, and ra'ufun, compassionate. The word ra'uf is in the intensive pattern, fa'ul, of the present participle or participle, ra'if. Relative to Allah, the term ra'uf refers to Allah's tender affection, the highest levels of His mercy and compassion, and the upper limit of His divine name, Ar-Rahim. Although the meaning of Ar-Ra'uf is similar to Ar-Rahim, except that it focuses on the utmost tenderness, kindness, and affection, which accompanies the outpouring of mercy and compassion of Ar-Ra'uf. Linguistically speaking, Ra'fa, which is the noun from the participle, refers to the tenderness, kindness, and affection with which Allah bestows His mercy upon us. Imam al-Ghazali mentioned that the divine name, Ar-Ra'uf, has the concept of pity embedded in it, and that pity is an increase in the level of mercy. That is, Ra'uf has the same basic meaning as Rahim, but it is in a more intensive form. Allah Ar-Ra'uf is the one who generously bestows His compassionate mercy upon us and has extreme pity for us in so many different ways and forms. The ways include multiple warnings, pitfalls and the withholding of things we strongly desire in order to prevent hidden harm. All of this for us to be mercifully and compassionately guided to achieve ultimate success in both this world and the next. The linking of the two divine names, Ar-Ra'uf and Ar-Rahim, is surprisingly strong in that of the 10 times where Allah's divine name Ar-Ra'uf, the kind and compassionate, is mentioned in the Quran, 8 of those times it is mentioned along with His divine name Ar-Rahim, the bestower of mercy. The difference between the concept of Ra'fa, compassion, and the concept of Rahma, mercy, is that after a calamity strikes, Allah Ar-Rahim has mercy on us. On the other hand, Ra'fa, compassion, refers to Allah Ar-Ra'uf, taking care of us and warning us so that we can protect ourselves from our own punishment. According to Imam Al-Qurtubi, the author of the famous fiqh tafsir called Al-Jami' li Ahkam al-Quran, the meaning of the noun Ra'fa is a delightful blessing from all aspects. Whereas Rahma could be painful and stressful at the moment, but delightful in the end. Consequently, Allah said, Az-zaniyatu waz-zani fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jalda wa la ta'khudhkum bihima ra'fatun fi dinillah. Lash the unmarried woman and the unmarried man found guilty of sexual intercourse 100 times. And do not fail to do so out of feelings of misplaced pity and compassion for them in Allah's religion. Surah Nur, verse 2. Instead of telling us not to withhold the divinely revealed punishment out of mercy for them, Allah said, out of pity for them, because lashing them for their sin is itself a mercy for them and not pity. For if Allah's attribute of Ra'fa covers any creature, no evil at all will befall it. Al-Uqlayshi said, reflect on this distinction between Ra'fa and Rahma, as it is why they are mentioned together. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And because Allah is kind and most merciful. Surah Nur, verse 20. On the basis that Ra'fa is more general than Rahma, so whenever Allah wishes mercy for his servant, he blesses him with it, except for the fact that the mercy could be granted immediately after a calamity. While in the case of Ra'fa, it is the opposite of this. It is never preceded by a calamity. So in summary, it may be said that the difference between Rahma and Ra'fa is that Ra'fa is the most intense form of Rahma and is linguistically a more eloquent expression of mercy. And Ra'fa is more general than Rahma, as Rahma could come from something disliked or immediately after something disliked has befallen us, while Ra'fa is good from all perspectives. Moving on to the application, according to Ibn Battal's four principles, the first of which is to adopt where applicable. The divine name Ar-Ra'uf may be adopted and applied by human beings and the jinn in two basic ways. The first is to recognize and appreciate Allah's loving, gentle kindness, which He pours on us throughout our lives. And the second is that we become kind to our fellow human beings and Allah's creatures, as Allah has been kind to us. So looking at the first, to adopt the divine name by reflection on Allah's Ra'fa, Allah's kindness in guidance and remembrance comes first. We should reflect each and every day on the compassionate mercy of our Ra'uf in guiding us to be good Muslims. We should also contemplate on all the times Allah has warned us through various signs in our life to avoid bad situations. Whenever we have the feeling that we should not go to a certain place, it is part and parcel of Allah's warnings. We should be aware that even reflection and contemplation is itself a form of ibadah, of worship. It is the worship of divine remembrance, which Allah instructed us to do regularly, saying, "Wadhkur Rabbaka kathira," and remember your Lord frequently. Surah Al-Imran, verse 41. And he further informed us that our five times daily prayers were primarily ordained to help us to establish divine remembrance of him. As attainment of Allah's reward of mercy and compassion is dependent on his remembrance. So he instructed us, saying, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Surah Taha, verse 14. Establish regular prayer in order to remember me. Allah's compassion in preserving the reward of valid worship. Ar-Ra'uf does not allow any genuine acts of worship directed to him, for which he rewarded his worshipers previously, to be lost due to changes in circumstances of his worshippers. As he said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. But Allah would never allow your acts of faith to be lost. Indeed, Allah is gentle and merciful with his people. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 143, we mentioned earlier. This verse was revealed in order to clarify for the believers that whoever prayed towards Bayt al-Maqdis, Masjid al-Aqsa, the Jewish Qibla of the temple of Prophet Solomon, before the change of the Qibla to Mecca, the reward of their prayers would not be lost. Likewise, the reward for sincere prayers made by those who died prior to the change of the Qibla would all be preserved. Allah's compassion in his warnings in preparation for meeting our Lord. Allah's Ra'fa is also evident in the fact that he frequently warned us of the severity of his punishments and sternly forbade us from wantonly disobeying him before we meet him on the day of judgment. These warnings were all in order for us to properly prepare ourselves for meeting him by strictly avoiding all that displeases him. On the day when every soul will be shown all the good it has done and confronted with all the evil it has done, it will wish that there was a great distance between it and its evil acts. Allah warns us of him, or Allah warns you of him, and Allah is gentle with his worshippers. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Surah Ali Imran, verse 30. Allah's careful and kind protection of the senses and deeds of the believers is another way by which he expresses his ra'fah. And this is particularly evident in his guarding the senses and deeds of the truly obedient believers, which is an expression of the perfection of his kindness to the truthful. The Prophet ﷺ quoted Allah in the Hadith Qudsi as saying, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتُرِدْتُ عَلَيْهِ. The most beloved thing with which my slave comes close to me is that which I made obligatory, fard, on him. My servant will continue to come closer to me by voluntary acts of worship until I love him. And if I love him, I will be his hearing by which he hears, his sight by which he sees, his hands by which he grasps, and his foot or his feet by which he walks. Although this narration is often used by Muslim mystics, Sufis, to support the heretical claim that it is possible for human beings who are purified through worship to become one with Allah. This union is commonly called among Sufis al-fana fillah, dissolution into Allah. It also became the basis for individuals like al-Hallaj, a 9th century Christian era Persian mystic who was executed in Baghdad. He claimed that he had become one with Allah. And others have made similar claims in different parts of the Muslim world under this mystic cloud. May Allah protect us from such a state of utter misguidance. Instead, in this Hadith Qudsi, Allah describes how he protects the senses and body parts of the sincere believers from being corrupted by the satanic delusions of this temporal world. Allah will help and bless his true worshipers through his compassion, mercy, and kindness to only hear, see, and grasp what is pleasing to Allah, and to only go to locations acceptable to Allah. A spiritual, emotional, and psychological state which we all should strive for to receive Allah's full ra'fa and rahmah. Allah's compassion for the penitent to ensure acceptance has in it an example of Allah's ra'fa, wherein Allah has left the door open for individual repentance until the last instant when death is upon us. At that point, regret and sorrow will be to no avail, and all attempts at repentance will be rejected. However, those under the ra'fa of Allah will be blessed to repent before it is too late. Allah addressed this issue in the Quran in very crystal clear terms, saying, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدُهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ. Repentance will not be accepted from those who continue to do evil until death comes upon one of them. And he says, indeed, I have repented now. Surah An-Nisa, verse 18. It's too late. Prophet Muhammad SAW was reported by Abdullah ibn Umar to have reiterated Allah's words and further extended the time frame of repentance with the additional clarification that Allah most great and gracious, that Allah most great and glorious will accept his servant's repentance until the death rattle begins. Inna Allah Azza wa Jal la yaqbalu tawbat al-abdi ma lam yughargir. Further, ra'fa, compassion and kindness, can be seen in Allah's leaving the door open for group repentance until the major sign of the ending of the world when the sun rises in the west. Abu Huraira quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, "Man taba qabla an tatla'u ash-shamsu min maghribiha, taba Allahu alayhi." Allah will accept the repentance of anyone who seeks it as long as it is before the sun rises in the west. Subhanallah. There is a story which the Prophet ﷺ related to us about a mass murderer who killed some 99 people. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri is the one who narrated it from the Prophet ﷺ, wherein he said, there was a man in the past among the Israelites who had killed 99 people and then went around the region seeking religious scholars who could show him the way to salvation. He was first told about a pious monk, so he traveled to the monk and informed him that he had killed 99 people. However, when he asked the monk if there was any chance for him to make repentance, the monk disgustingly replied that there was not. How could he possibly think that there could be repentance for him? So the man killed the monk out of frustration and completed with him 100 murders. However, he still felt the need to repent. So he continued to ask about religious scholars until he was directed to a scholar. And he told the scholar of the 100 people he had murdered and asked if there was any chance for him to make repentance. And the scholar told him yes, and directed him to a different land where there were many people devoted to prayer and acts of worship. The scholar told him to go live there and join them in worship and not return to his native land. So the man immediately set out for the land, but he died on the way. While dying, he turned his chest towards the village in that land where he had hoped his repentance would have been accepted. So the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment quarreled amongst themselves. The angels of mercy argued that the angels of punishment, or argued with the angels of punishment, saying, "This is a man who has come seeking Allah's forgiveness and was sorry for his sins." But the angels of punishment replied that he had done no good at all. Allah ordered the village in the land of the righteous people to come closer to him, closer to the man. And he ordered the village in the evil land to go farther away from him. Subhanallah. Then another angel appeared in human form and told them to measure which land he was nearest to. When they measured, they found that he was one hand span, that is between the thumb and the little finger. He was one hand span nearest to the land of the righteous people, the town in the land of the righteous people, to which he was heading. So he was forgiven. And the angels of mercy took possession of his soul. This is a true story related by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which perfectly illustrates the kind, compassionate, and pity which Allah has for even the vilest of his creatures, if they sincerely seek to correct themselves. The pious but ignorant monk caused his own death. How can we say that? Because he gave false information and discouraging information to a mass murderer. He broke a basic rule of divine guidance, which Allah reiterated for us in the final revelation. Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask those who know, the people of knowledge, if you don't know. Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 7. One might object, saying that this rule is in the Quran. However, it is such a basic rule that Allah would surely have revealed it to Adam when he taught him the names of everything, as well as in his revelations to the prophets who came after him. When the penitent mass murderer asked the scholar, he was finally rightly guided. The village in the land in which he had grown up was one filled with evil people, and their evil rubbed off on him. But his basic desire for good led him to continue to look for repentance in order to purify himself. The good environment of the village in the land of the righteous people would have been completely enough, would have been completely enough to change him. But though he died before reaching it, just as his good intention alone was enough for Allah, Allah Ar-Ra'uf intervened, forgave him, and saved him. We can also see in Allah's compassionate reduction of obligations in the Sharia, his Ra'fa. Allah Ar-Ra'uf's compassion and kindness can be seen in the reduction of the levels of obligation in virtually all the basic Islamic rules, obligations, and instructions. From the declaration of faith being kept secret, no, declaration of faith is supposed to be done openly. It shouldn't be kept a secret. But in the case of the Najashi, the ruler of Ethiopia, who provided a safe haven for the first of those who made Hijra out of Mecca to Ethiopia. We can also see it in tayammum, in the place of wudu. You can't find water, you're allowed to pat your hands on clean earth, wipe your hands, and wipe your face to replace wudu. Shortening and joining of our five times daily prayers, which are time sensitive during our journeys. Also being excused from fasting during Ramadan if we're on a journey. as well as feeding the poor for those physically unable to fast. If one has no zakat to pay, they can always give sadaqah. And if they can't make hajj, which is an obligation, the obligation on them is dropped from them. And they can make umrah instead, or stay at home and be rewarded for having the intention to make hajj. All are divinely revealed compassionate reductions for the believers. As Allah also said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wishes ease for you and not difficulty. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185. We can also learn ra'fa, compassion, the compassion of Allah, from how the Prophet ﷺ lived that compassion. Allah Ar-Ra'uf described the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ himself as being Ra'ufun Rahim. He said, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. Certainly a messenger from among yourselves has come to you. It grieves him that you should perish, and he is extremely anxious regarding you. And he is most kind and merciful to the believers. Surah Tawbah, verse 128. The phrase, it grieves him that you should perish, means that he suffers from whatever causes you to suffer. The phrase, he is ardently anxious regarding you, refers to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ, who loved good for people, strived with all of his might so that goodness would reach them, and was very concerned about their guidance to truth. He also disliked that evil would reach us, and strove his utmost to block it from affecting us. And the last phrase, and he is most kind and merciful to the believers, meant that he was extremely kind and merciful to his people. In fact, he was even more concerned about them than their own parents. As a result, his right to be followed should be given precedence over the rights of all other creatures. And it is obligatory on the ummah to believe in him, honor him, respect him, and praise him. We owe it to ourselves to seriously study the seerah, the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, to learn how compassionately and kindly he dealt with his companions, his family, his wives, his children, and even his enemies. An example of his kindness to the ummah can be seen in the fact that whenever he was given a choice between two halal options, he would always choose the easiest, knowing that his choices would be followed by generations to come. Also, he never took revenge for himself against anyone. He would only take revenge for Islam when Allah's laws were violated. He had his servant, Anas ibn Malik, who was with him from the earliest of ages, grew up with him. And he reported that the Prophet ﷺ never hit him, even once. And he never even scolded him. This was the Prophet's kindness, his compassion. He often used to begin prayers with the intention of extending them by reciting long chapters of the Quran. Sometimes you recite Surah Al-Baqarah in one rak'ah. That's unthinkable for us today, but he did it. However, if he heard a baby cry, he would immediately shorten his prayer in order to avoid making difficulty for the child's mother. This divine name, Ar-Ra'uf, contains attributes of gentleness on levels which human beings cannot hope to possess. However, we can apply gentleness in many different religious activities which we are obliged to perform. We should note, in early sessions, I addressed the concept of the relevance of applying the divine names to the da'wah imperative. There is a general obligation on all Muslims to convey Islam to the world, which requires them to be gentle in conveying the message, because harshness will likely discourage people from listening to the truth. Allah even addressed this issue with regards to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, saying, "لو كنت فضلاً غليظ القلب لم فضوا من حولك." If you were harsh and hard-hearted, they would have fled from around you. Surah Ali Imran, verse 159. Furthermore, Allah openly stated that it was as a result of His divine mercy, His rahmah, that Allah, that the Prophet ﷺ was gentle to those who invited to Islam. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. And by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. Surah Ali Imran, verse 59. The one calling to Islam should always consider the fact that Allah instructed Prophets Moses and Aaron to gently communicate the message of Islam to Pharaoh, who at that time was claiming he was God Almighty. Ar-Rauf said, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. So speak to him mildly, speak to Pharaoh mildly, both of you, in order that he may reflect or fear God. Surah Taha, verse 44. Gentleness in da'wah affects the hearts of those being invited and makes them want to listen to the message. In order to further stress the importance of gentle invitation, the Messenger of Allah was quoted by Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajili as saying, "Man yuhram al-rifq, yuhram al-khayra kulla." Whoever is deprived of gentleness is deprived of all good. Prophet ﷺ also prayed for and against the leaders of the Ummah regarding their methods of governance, whether kind or harsh to their subject. He said in dua, "O Allah, be hard on those whoever acquires control over the affairs of my nation and is hard on them. O Allah, be hard on whoever acquires control over the affairs of my nation and is hard on them. And be kind to whoever gains control over the affairs of my nation and is kind with them." It should be noted, however, that Ra'fa has its limits. When it comes to what is displeasing to Allah, it is wrong to be compassionate and kind by ignoring sins. Similarly, it is wrong not to give sick people their medicine out of pity and compassion simply because they can't stand the taste. Even though it may lead to their further sickness or even their death, compassion for the sick is to help them take their medicine, even though it is terrible tasting. Consequently, Allah instructed us to not restrain from applying the hudud, the fixed laws, on which those who are convicted should be punished. The second way, major way, we said of applying the divine name, Ar-Rauf, was by being kind and compassionate to others. These divine names are Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, like Ar-Rauf, while impossible to adopt on the human scale, whether we're looking at Ar-Rauf or Ar-Rahman or Rahim, we can't. They're very similar in meaning. We can't adopt them on a human scale because they're infinite. However, they may be adopted by being merciful to our fellow human beings and to Allah's creatures on our limited scale. What we know of Allah's infinite mercy should drive us to seek out ways of being merciful to Allah's creation, especially considering that our mercy to them will earn us more mercy from Allah. The impact of belief in this name on the believers also demonstrates the benefits of Ra'fa. Consciousness of the vast ocean of compassion contained in the divine name of Ra'uf should create in the believer keenness to consciously and continuously seek to achieve its benefits by doing all in his or her power to receive Allah's grace and mercy. Sometimes it is easy to be kind, but if people don't appreciate what we have done, we quickly stop being kind. That level of kindness is dependent on others and is not self-driven. Instead, we should strive to continue to be kind and compassionate, regardless of whether others appreciate it and thank us for it or not. If our intention is seeking Allah's pleasure, whether people appreciate our kindness or not should be irrelevant. Just as Allah continues to be kind and compassionate, regardless of our own negligence of his rights of worship and obedience. Now, obedience to Allah and his messenger is one of the factors which will cause Allah to be compassionate and pitiful. Allah Ar-Ra'uf has made obedience to the Prophet ﷺ and himself a reason to receive the bounties of Allah's divine mercy. Ati'u Allah, Allah said, wa Rasul la'allakum turhamun. Obey Allah and the Messenger. Obey Allah and the Messenger in order to receive mercy. Surah Ali Imran, verse 132. Consequently, if we recognize that we are really in great need of Allah's mercy, we should immediately correct as much as we can of what is wrong with ourselves and bring our lives back in line with Islam. That is, if we are seriously wanting Allah's compassion and mercy. If we are not serious, then we will just raise our hands in prayer and ignore the reality of our lives. Like the man on the journey, which the Prophet ﷺ described, I've mentioned it on a number of occasions, who was begging for Allah's help and mercy, and the Prophet ﷺ said, how will Allah answer his prayers when his food is haram? Repentance is itself a cause for Allah's mercy. Allah Ar-Ra'uf, the compassionate, also opened the doors of his mercy to all those who are sincerely repentant, saying, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O my servants who have oppressed themselves, do not despair of Allah's mercy. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, he is all forgiving, the most merciful. Surah Zumar, verse 35. Compassion is one of the greatest moral characteristics which Allah has encouraged his servants to acquire. He praises his messenger for this quality, saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I only sent you as a mercy, that is addressed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I only sent you as a mercy to the world. Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 107. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was driven out of Taif and stoned by its inhabitants, and Allah gave him the option to destroy the city and its inhabitants totally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instead requested that they not be wiped out. saying that perhaps from their descendants, there would come some who would worship Allah as he deserved to be worshipped. Likewise, when Muslims conquered Mecca without a fight, and the inhabitants who had driven the Prophet ﷺ out, tried to kill him, waged war against him and his followers, tortured his followers, and killed some of them as well as the believers who weren't under their power. They expected him to slaughter them, as was the custom in that time, but instead he let them all go free. The Prophet's life is full of many such examples of compassion, mercy, and kindness, which need to be revived in the minds of this generation, which has produced the likes of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Abu Sayyaf, etc. The second way of application of a Ra'uf is to be gentle with others. This divine name can also be applied by being thankful to Ar-Ra'uf for his gentleness and by being a source of gentleness to others. We should make a special effort to look out for the poor, orphans, widows, prisoners, and all those in need around us by doing something to make their lives easier. The least we can do is to give away our extra clothing or write a letter of support for those unjustly imprisoned. As the Prophet ﷺ was reported by his wife Aisha to have said, whenever gentleness is in a thing, it beautifies it. In al-rifqa, la yakunu fi shay illa zana. And whenever it is withdrawn from something, it defaces it. وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ. We should beware of the dua, the da'wah of the so-called Islamic movements, which invites its followers to hate the believers. This is a common feature of the da'wah of modern extremist movements like the Boko Haram, Shabab, ISIS, extreme Taliban, etc. This was never the basis of the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ, nor that of his companions, who carried Islam to the rest of the world, as well as those who followed their example. Instead, Allah taught us to love our fellow Muslims and to pray for him, and to pray to him to remove any animosity towards them from their hearts. Allah taught us to say in prayers, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And do not put malice in our hearts towards those who believe. Our Lord, you are truly compassionate and merciful. Surah Hashr, verse 10. We should strive to increase our feelings of compassion in our hearts. We should always strive to be kind to others and handle people's feelings with tenderness. It is easy to be rough and harsh, but so difficult to be gentle and understanding. Sometimes we are so busy with our own lives and our families and friends, we easily forget about others. The connection we feel with the Muslim Ummah is in fact a mirror of our own iman, our own faith. The Prophet ﷺ used to use the same mirror metaphor to stress our responsibility to our fellow Muslims, saying, Al-Mu'min, Mir'atul Mu'min. The believer is the believer's mirror. The least that we can do is to be aware of the situation of our fellow Muslims around the world and think of ways how to support them, whether they are in Myanmar, Palestine, China, Yemen, or Afghanistan. We should feel compassion for them and try to support and help them in any legitimate way possible, even if all we can do is to pray for them. For example, in every witr prayer at the end of the night, we should make sure that we sincerely remember the Ummah in our du'as. We should also be proactive, not inactive. Someone once said, all the time I was waiting for someone to do something about a situation, then I realized, finally, that the someone was me. Ar-Rauf has pity on us, so much so that he even warns us about how to avoid his punishment. If we see our brother or sister in a low state of iman, on the verge of going astray or already astray, we should feel concerned about them and advise them kindly and compassionately. Forbidding evil and enjoining good is a duty upon all of us. However, we don't take it seriously enough. Even though Allah said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas," you were the best community ever brought forth for humankind. Ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. Because you command the good and forbid the evil. Wa tu'minuna billah. And you believe in Allah. Surah Ali Imran, verse 110. And the Prophet ﷺ also was quoted by Tamim ad-Dari as saying that the religion is based on good advice. Ad-deenun nasiha. The religion is good advice. Consequently, we should take inspiration from the Ra'fa, the kindness and compassion of Allah, in our own lives in order to motivate ourselves to warn and guide others, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, as much as we can. Showing kindness and compassion, even for Allah's creatures, will help to build the Ra'fa in ourselves. Abu Huraira quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, there was once a man who suffered from extreme thirst while walking on a journey. When he finally found a well, he climbed down it and drank from it. However, when he climbed back out, he saw an extremely thirsty dog whose tongue hung from its mouth while licking the ground, seeking moisture. The man said to himself, this dog is suffering from a much worse thirst than I did. So he climbed back down into the well, filled his shoe with water, and held it to the mouth of the dog. The dog drank it, and Allah appreciated his deed and forgave all of his sins. On another occasion, when the Prophet ﷺ related a similar story about another man, and he related it also about a woman from the Israelites, who did something similar, his companions asked him, O Messenger of Allah, is there a reward for being charitable even to animals? The Prophet ﷺ replied, yes, for every warm-blooded creature, there is a reward for charity shown towards it. Satan's trap in extreme compassion and exaggerated kindness. Now, this is something that we need to have, compassion and kindness. But when it goes to an extreme, when it goes beyond the limits, it's exaggerated, it can be very harmful. Satan and his followers want human beings to go to extremes in all of our affairs, religious and otherwise, because it is in extremism that Allah is easily disobeyed and sidelined. Like the Boko Haram, for example. Their basic premise was that studying the teachings of the West, studying from books designed by the West, etc., is haram because it's created without faith. It's atheistic. So it's haram. Well, that's a legitimate complaint that we as Muslims should have our own books where morality is a part of the curriculum, it's inside the books, and our faith is expressed within the books, directly or indirectly. That's no harm. But they went with two extremes with it. They just then said that studying in these schools altogether was haram. They went and burned schools, killed proprietors, killed even children, kidnapped them, and all this under the name of preventing Western education from coming on the Ummah. This is a big mistake. So this is the bottom line, that Satan and his followers want human beings to go to extremes in all of their affairs, especially the religious and otherwise. Because it is in extremism that Allah is easily disobeyed and sidelined. However, both Allah and his messenger continuously warn the believers against extremism. Allah warned the Christians and the Jews about exaggerated extremism in their practice of religion, saying, Ya Ahlul Kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum. O people of the scripture, do not exaggerate in your religion. Surah Nisa, verse 171. And the Prophet ﷺ was also quoted by Ibn Abbas as saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, iyyakum wal ghulu fi din. O people, beware of exaggeration in religious affairs. For those who came before you were doomed because of exaggeration in religious affairs. So if Satan and his army see us leaning towards compassion and kindness, they beautify compassion and kindness and increase our love for compassion and kindness until we are no longer upset by what upsets Allah and what he dislikes. If on the other hand, they see us leaning towards harshness and roughness, they beautify harshness until we abandon goodness, righteousness, gentleness, and maintaining family ties, which were instructed to be done by Allah and his messenger. So you'll find extremists cutting off their families, having nothing to do with their families, because their families committed errors or did not see as they saw. So what we find them doing is they blame and censor, punish and hate what is beloved by Allah and his messenger. The second principle of Ibn Battal is to confirm where unique and inapplicable. This divine name, Ar-Rauf, like all divine names, contain attributes which are unattainable by Allah's creatures. So our belief in the divine attributes requires us to single out Allah with the full attributes of compassion and kindness, and consequently make him the only one whom we should turn to ultimately for forgiveness for our sins. Of course, those people whom we have wronged, we should seek their forgiveness first and foremost. But following that, we should also seek Allah's ra'fa, compassion and kindness, so as not to find our sins on the scales on the day of judgment in a state of bankruptcy, as described by the Prophet. We should have pity for the sinful rather than scorn. Consequently, we should scrupulously avoid arrogance towards people engaged in sin. As who among us is without sin? The Prophet ﷺ stressed the importance of avoiding this attitude, as it is natural and rather common for the new believers, whether converts or born-again believers, to look down on many of the common people as living in a habitual state of sin and disobedience. Instead, the da'wah imperative requires us to advise them gently, as Allah's divine name, Ar-Rauf, taught us. We should always remember Prophet Moses and Pharaoh and compare ourselves and those whom we are looking down on to Moses and Pharaoh. Indeed, we should teach according to the example of Ar-Rauf by thinking to ourselves, this lowly sinful person may one day achieve the station of Ra'fa, where sincere repentance and become far better and dearer to Allah than we are. The third principle is to have hope where there is a promise. The divine name, Ar-Ra'uf, the compassionate, contains the promise of Allah's erasure of our sins, which could and should consequently create in us a real sense of gratitude and appreciation, especially since Allah has already informed us that if we show gratitude, He will increase His forgiveness of our sins. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you are grateful, I will surely increase my favor on you. So it is for our own benefit to be grateful for the ra'fa of Allah, His compassion and kindness. However, giving thanks shouldn't be done ritualistically, even if accompanied by a ritual, like sujood al-shukr, for example. It should be done sincerely if we are to reap any benefit from it. We should remember that Allah does not need our gratitude in the least. He does not benefit from our gratitude in any way. Allah Ar-Ra'uf ordained gratitude for us as a means of purifying ourselves from our blinding addiction to the accumulation of worldly trappings and gross ingratitude. Gratitude is our most basic means of growing closer to Allah. By becoming more and more conscious of His kind and gentle ways, His hand in our lives, we become more and more grateful. In the same way that we would be grateful to anyone in this life who overlooks our faults and mistakes, we need to recognize the extreme and intense forbearance of Ar-Ra'uf towards us and return to Him after feeling a sense of remorse for our sins. Without remorse, there is no repentance, as the Prophet ﷺ informed us that remorse is the essence of repentance. So let us again remember that the best way of being thankful to Ar-Ra'uf for His gentleness is to train ourselves to be kind, gentle, and compassionate to others. And the fourth and last of the principles of Ibn Battal in application of the divine names is to have fear where there is a warning. And there's no obvious warnings in the divine name Ar-Ra'uf, the compassionate, the kind, as it is fundamentally a reminder and assurance of Allah's kindness and gentleness with us throughout the various stages of our lives. The only danger which we need to fear is that of denying or rejecting Allah's unbounded kindness and mercy, His ra'fa and His rahmah in our lives. The main danger lies in our ungrateful, arrogant belief, as many life coaches suggest, that if we believe strongly enough in ourselves, we can do anything we wish and be anything we want to be. Sounds nice, but the bottom line is, of course, that it's not really about how much we believe in ourselves, but about the favors and bounties that Allah Ar-Ra'uf and Ar-Rahim generously grants us in spite of our frequent disregard and disbelief in Him. So we should instead fear a state of negligence and haughty arrogance, which could easily burn our bridges to salvation in the life to come. This arrogant state will also cause our current life to become gloomy and depressing when we haughtily turn away from Allah and deny His ra'fa, His blessings in our lives. And on the day of judgment, it will be far worse. Allah warned us, saying, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى And whoever turns away from my remembrance will have a depressing life, and I will gather him on the day of resurrection blind. And he will say, My Lord, why have you raised me blind when I was once seeing? And Allah will reply to him, saying, In that way, our signs came to you and you forgot and discarded them. So today, you will be forgotten. May Allah protect us from falling into such a cursed state of misguidance and negligence. And in closing, we'll now call on Allah using the divine name of Rauf. Oh Allah, Ya Rauf, Ya Rauf, Ya Rauf. We know that you are compassionate, and your compassionate and kindness encompasses all of creation. So increase our hearts in mercy and pity for others and forgive our sins. Ya Allah, help us to apply your example of compassion and the example of your messenger in our own lives by being kind and compassionate to those around us, even when they don't appreciate it. Ya Rauf, open our hearts to be loving and pitiful for the sinful and keep our minds and souls free from scorn of them. Ya Allah, Ya Rauf, make us grateful. Ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With that, we end our second portion of the course module, or the course class. And we're now going to move on to the third segment, in which we answer or try to answer your questions. We only have a few as time is short. Bismillah. Faisal Ali asks, what if I'm doing some shirk and I don't know this? I don't know that this is shirk, and I die in that state. Am I sinful? Well, you're sinful in that you are committing a sin. However, if you didn't know that it was in fact shirk and a sin, then Allah is most merciful. There is an excuse in ignorance where access to knowledge wasn't available, but where you deliberately avoided getting information about the deen, and you'll find some people doing that. When you try to tell them what's right, they say, no, please don't tell me. Because as long as I don't know, I can keep on doing what I'm doing and Allah won't punish me. But it doesn't work like that. If you had ample opportunity to know and you choose not to know, then you will be held accountable. Second question is from Beauty. Does tahajjud mean you must sleep, then wake up and pray? Or you can pray without going to sleep? Well, tahajjud is normally supposed to be after you wake up from sleep. However, we know Abu Bakr used to make tahajjud after Isha, after doing that he made, witr. He used to make witr, which is what's done at the end of tahajjud. Then for fear of not waking up and doing it. But the norm is to go to sleep and wake up as the Prophet ﷺ and the rest of the companions did. You know, wake up and then pray tahajjud. The last question is, what do you think about addiction to cannabis, that is hashish or marijuana? It's haram. Simple as that. Question from our Instagrammers.
Can I celebrate Prophet's birthday?
Can I celebrate the Prophet's awesome birthday? The question we should ask ourselves is, did the Prophet celebrate his birthday? Did his wife celebrate his birthday? Did his companions, close companions, Abu Bakr, Omar, Uthman, Ali, etc., did they celebrate his birthday? And the big answer that comes back is, no, they didn't. So should we? No. Of course. Are we better than the Sahaba? We have something which the Sahaba didn't know, so we're going to now add this to the religion of the Prophet ﷺ? Of course not. That's not acceptable. Common sense tells us we shouldn't. My battery is running low. because it wasn't plugged in properly. Rashida asks, is it a sin if we don't complete reading the Quran every 30 days? No, it's not a sin. Most companions of the Prophet ﷺ never did that. The vast majority never did. Muhammad Asif asks, if we have bank interest credited in our account, how should we handle that interest? Take it out and give it away. Not seeking any reward for it because there's no reward in it. It's already cursed. You're just getting it out of your premises, out of your account, out of your ownership. Clean up your account. Inshallah, with that, we'll close. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.